The idea is by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, right? That means that, like in bananas, we started on groves. So that means that in a very real thing, that if the offering has been apprehended, then shame is impossible. Past or present. If the offerings have been apprehended, then hiding is impossible. Past or present, or obviously future. If the offerings have been apprehended, then mercy has always existed. And always will exist. If the offerings have been apprehended, then you have already been sanctified, body, soul, and spirit. That means your mind is already loving God with all its heart. I mean, you as a vessel are already loving God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. You just don't see it because your mind is lying to you, because it keeps hidden things for itself, and that's the trick of Satan. You can't, if the offerings have been apprehended, then you will see that every thought you think is as direct from God. Every word you speak is as God spoke. Every deed you do is as God did it. Okay? You understand, everybody? Now, there's an interesting story from the Midrash.
Hey, we get a Midrash story.
This is the one for the year.
Is this for, about the sin offering?
The...
Somehow?
Prior to apprehension of the offerings, you are considered to be still connected to the mother by an umbilical cord. Apprehension of the offerings, the fullness of the apprehension of the offerings, you are still considered to be connected to the mother as a newborn child from the umbilical cord. You understand? All right, story. On one occasion, a woman who had given birth at night said to her son, "Go light a lamp." She said to the son that had was born.
Just born.
Now, I'll tell you, in the spirit, in that day, the son is, the woman conceives, the son is born, the son is tied to the umbilical cord, and the son becomes an adult in one day. You understand? You don't shake your head yes if you don't know what I mean.
No, I don't.
I probably know what you mean when I finish the story.
The idea is that there is only one day from God's standpoint. Now, this is the only day. A day when there it's neither night nor day, as it talks about in some of the prophets. We are in that one day. Okay? Okay. Now, on one occasion, a woman who had given birth at night said to her son, "Go light a lamp so that I may cut your umbilical cord." He went to light the lamp when a demon, the prince of the evil spirits, attacked him. While they were engaged in battle, one with the other, the cock crowed. Said the demon to him, "Go announce to your mother that had not the cock crowed, I would have killed you." Said the boy to the prince of demons, "You go and announce to your mother's mother that my mother has not yet cut my umbilical cord, for if my mother had already cut my umbilical cord, I would have destroyed you." Whoa. The fear of you and the dread of you is on every creature. The thing, remember my frustration is the last time we met? If you don't, listen to the tape.
I remember.
My frustrations are connected to the point in you that I don't recognize that you have a sense of destiny. What I see is that you're some poor little person running around in the world, doing world stuff, and every once in a while you go and get stimulated at a Bible study. You are the reason that time and space exist. No evil can befall you. You own all things. All things exist for your purpose. Everything that happened in the past happened that you might see Jesus. All authority in heaven and earth has been delivered over to you, to Christ in you. Unless you have a sense of destiny, you will be cast about by every little thing that comes in your mind. Unless you have a sense of destiny, you're just walking through life just like all the other poor little Gentiles are, worrying about whether this is going to happen or this is going to happen, or poor little you. Do you understand what I mean about a sense of destiny? Well, it cast off the works of darkness. Cast off that weight which does so easily beset you. And run with patience the race that is set before you. You're not of this world. Do you have a little bit of sense of what I'm talking? Who said that?
Me.
Oh.
Me, myself.
John talked about, I don't know, a week ago, maybe more, about a supernova that had just been discovered. And so I asked him, you know, I said, well, how long ago did it happen? And he said 50,000 years ago. You know, it's just, we're just now with telescopes seeing the light from that. And it's like, if I can find my image of Christ or my image of God to something much less than supernovas, then I have no doubt that Christ is in me, except that doesn't work anymore. If I expand the parameters to include something that happened 50,000 years ago and believe that that God is in me, then I find myself in unbelief. And it's somehow, I know that seeing this will make me see that belief that's there somewhere.
Amen. Okay, we're going to go through this chart in some detail. And we're going to start, we're going to read it like the Hebrews read, from right to left.
Okay.
Now, Notice that on the column on the far right-hand side, the offerer is the soul. That means it's an individual, isolated self that really doesn't know who it is. That's why instead of a common Israelite or common people, the soul doesn't even yet know it's an Israelite. It only knows that it's sort of a separate identity with massive confusion as to its identity. You understand? The sacrifice is fine flour, which means they've only seen somehow that maybe, hopefully, Christ did something and he was bruised and stuff, and maybe, hopefully, somehow, some way, something about that being bruised and fine flour did something to the effect that it eases their conscience. But, and this is the important but, the next time they make a mistake, what they perceive as a mistake, it'll have to be repeated. Understand? It doesn't atone for them because there's a massive confusion. You see, look, as you go down, read the far right hand, left hand is the label, and this is the activity. Do you see that? Okay, the sin offering is supposed to atone for the individual, for the whole human race, as we'll see at the ultimate. But here it doesn't even atone for them, because it only somehow maybe atones for the act or for the mistake they made. And so it has to be repeated again. Everything in here is me-centered. It atones for, well, possibly maybe it's a trespass and maybe it's a sin and maybe it's a mistake and, well, maybe it's just my conscience telling me this and maybe it's all right if I did this and maybe I'm not under the law anymore so I can do anything and maybe if I do it again I'll figure out a way not to get caught. And in other words, there's massive confusion with regard to the idea of what that offering atones for. Understand? Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So, therefore, the idea is that there had to be a death in order for there to be shedding of blood. So, in this case, there's no death. It's just crumbling up flour. So you again see yourself as an isolated individual who has made a mistake and thinks that he's going to get better. But if he makes a mistake again, 5 minutes from now, he's got to find some more flour and grind it up and stuff. You understand? There's no laying on of hands. The laying on of hands is the act by which you accept total responsibility for that death. Obviously, since there's no death, there's no laying out of hands, so you don't even know what the hell that means. You're still back as the Gentile, or maybe even as less than a Gentile. You have no idea what laying out of hands means. There's no blood, and so there's no access. The instant the thing is forgotten or something, then they begin to seek to pray to God somewhere else out there, or hopefully someday I might see God maybe, or someday I might understand if I'm lucky maybe if we get a better teacher, or if I study just right and pray just right and hold my tongue on the roof of my mouth while I count to 143 standing in my head, then I'll be all right. The point is, when there is no blood, there is only a propensity to understand within the creature, within the soul, some how-to phenomena. How to get better. How to do it differently next time. There's the disposition of the fat. Well, in this case, there's not even any fat because everything about it is self-consumed. Do you understand that?
Well, the fat represents your self or something.
Well, if there's no fat, the idea is if there's either no fat or you don't see the fat, then you don't think the offering was complete. And so therefore everything about it is consumed internally. It's an isolated self deal where you save it for yourself and you concern yourself with it.
There's no rivers of living water.
It's a totally isolated self. You understand?
Like the burning is offering up of self and these other ones are...
Well, we'll get to that in a minute.
I'm just trying to see what the no fat is.
Well, you'll see it in a minute. Okay. There's no inner parts. There's no mention of the inner parts. Obviously, there's no. If there's in a fine flower, there's no real inner parts to mention. And so there's no apprehension that the sin offering covered every part of your being. There's no apprehension that it covered, as we talked about, the kidneys or the liver or the call or the mind or the inward parts. There's only an act, an isolated act that somehow has got to be repeated again and again and again. And you know, all kinds of efforts never to do it again and all kinds of repentance of the world of, oh, I'm so sorry I did that. Okay? There's, with regard to the disposition of the body, here comes a beautiful mystery. Since in the idea of the disposition of the body in the sin offering, there's no body to deal with, then they have to believe, and I'll go through this in great detail if you want me to, but they have to believe then in the salvation of the isolated self. Or the death of the isolated self. They can only do it by contrast. In the sin offering, the body is burned without the camp to show you that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Right? Okay. In the higher grades, it's seen perfectly, including all the details. In the lower grades, there's no body seen. Therefore, the individual only sees himself as an isolated self, hoping to get better and possibly hoping someday to go to heaven. He doesn't see that it's burned outside the camp. Therefore, his soulish nature takes over, and he sees himself as the isolated self that something's going to happen to. Either he's going to go to hell or he's going to go to heaven.
This is too simplistic, but he gives importance to the body?
Yeah. Okay. The name of it was the trespass offering instead of the sin offering. Now, the sacrifice, part of it is eaten and part of it's burned. Now, we're talking massive confusion. Again, the part that's eaten herein is the idea that It's only self. Now, unfortunately, what I've just described is almost every one of you. The very lowest of the low with regard to apprehension of the offerings. Now, how do I know that? I know it because I hear your words. Out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. There is a massive concern only for self. There is a no identity that you are no longer an individual self, but you are a nation. You don't even recognize you're a common Israelite, much less recognize you're either a ruler, much less recognize you're the anointed high priest. You spend your life over here going in and out. You go off the page half the time and you're right there half the time. Do you hear me? Okay, we don't want to do that anymore. Because next time
When you do that, if he cometh, if he came as a thief in the night, and you happen to be at that particular moment over here, you're left behind, just like all the other little souls. Because you've got the wrong garment on. You're still running around over here worrying about you and yours. Oh, my thing is so righteous, though. I just want this. Well, you better hope he delays his coming. Because if in your mindset he came as the thief in the night in that twinkling of an eye, you would be left outside the camp. There would be no part of you. You would be as though you never existed. Am I communicating a little bit? Use the wisdom of Solomon to scare the hell out of yourself in this regard. Kill the baby. Don't some of you want to argue with me a little bit? I've just half condemned you. At least half. And you're gonna be settled? You're settling for that?
How do you have condemned us?
If in a particular moment in time, as he came as a thief in the night, your mindset was out here instead of here, you'd be gone.
I don't feel like I'm there.
Good.
I feel like I'm up. I know I'm not away up here. I'm somewhere here. I'm just kind of moving through the chart.
Okay, let's go on to the... Everybody understand the lowest offering of the sin offering? You understand the confusion? The idea of it's for the isolated self? The idea that you don't yet know who you are, so you're still a poor soul? You got that? You got... Now, you don't want to stay there, right?
No.
You don't want to stay there.
All right. Can I come back to the inner parts here?
Yeah.
Just one question. Is that because they don't see the perfection of it? They don't go through the...
Well, in the case of the fine flower, there are no inner parts.
Right, but I mean that they just, there's no revelation to the complete perfection.
Right, there's always something, you'll see it's common. It's only surface, it's only the... They will make every attempt to try to sanctify the body. They will try to improve themselves, even to the point of acting like they're...
Okay. The offer is confused and thinks that sin is what he does, not what he is.
All right. Okay, now, can you understand what I've said about the first level? I mean, is there any confusion?
What is less than that? What is less than the first level?
Not a part of Israel.
Less than the first level is not caring whether or not God exists.
Well, is this not akin to that same individual you talk about who has an inkling that there's a God someplace but isn't sure exactly where he is and figures might as well pray to it?
Someday he's going to get it right with God.
Someday he'll get it right with God.
Is less than that. That's less than this.
He's put God on cosmic.
No, because this guy, every time he makes a mistake, he's still a soul. He doesn't see himself as an Israelite.
Yeah.
So as an individualized soul, then he still is in the position of thinking that someday he'll get right with God. He's not much different than a Gentile. I mean, the fading in that, the fade out here is almost, I mean, you couldn't tell a difference if you looked at it.
Well, who or what does he think was bruised and burned? And
Somebody, something, some way, maybe.
Oh, it's that bad?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
mean that. is this somewhere to say that this guy's never really experienced even being in the camp?
No, he may have been
there.
He may
have been there, but he didn't know he was.
like all these last three have to be someday getting right with God, because it's doing something. It's confusion between sin and trespass. So
right.
If you've got to do something, if there's that confusion, then you're always in the position of someday getting it right with God, because you don't feel like you got it right now.
Right. Okay, the next item, we see a little bit greater apprehension, but not a great deal. The offerer still sees himself as an isolated soul that God is doing stuff with, that God is teaching him something, or that he's learning something from this or that, or that he's still an isolated self. You understand that? Now, the sacrifice is two turtle doves. Now, only one of the I don't want to get into all that, because one of the key reasons that I don't want to get into all of it is that I'm not sure I understand it.
That's a very good reason not to get into it.
But at least there is the shedding of the blood.
There's not much blood.
Not much blood.
That's serious blood.
There's the shedding of the blood, but not much blood. It's like, my response when I read this was, in remember Dr. Faustus and his lament at the end, if I could have but one drop of blood. No, you never mind.
I never read that.
Okay. It still applies only to the act. In other words, there's a confusion, i.e. that he made a mistake. It may have been a little bigger mistake, but he made a mistake, and somehow some blood was shed somehow, but it's going to have to be shed again if I make the same mistake again. Okay? So there's implicit in that, if it's the act, then there's confusion with the trespass and the sin. Now the major difference here is in this case, now we're beginning to see something else, and that somehow his salvation or his walk with God is dependent on his pastor or minister, because he sees that a priest at least killed something. Do you understand that? He's getting closer into the camp, into the understanding, but his walk, his purpose, his identity is so interrelated with that everything about him depends on the priest or the minister.
So like the milk instead of the meat, kind of a
yeah
symbol there.
Well, yeah, but the milk meat deal covers a lot of these. You understand that part of it?
He can sort of believe in someone else's belief.
Yeah. So obviously, if that's the case, then there's no laying on of hands. He doesn't understand what it means to lay on hands.
Right.
With regard to the disposition of the blood, there's some little bitty apprehension of the blood. There's some little bitty apprehension of the altar. He knows that somehow blood has to be shed in order for him to have access to the altar otherwise, but he's not too sure about it.
Does this soul, does he approach that altar? I find myself wondering where in this continuum the presentation.
Same question you had before.
As a living sacrifice.
Well, the presentation is a living sacrifice. See, that's so subjective, and that's the reason I avoid the question. It's so totally subjective. I mean, if you asked anybody that quote-unquote is a believer, they've said they've presented themselves as a living sacrifice. But it's always, it's conditional. You know, if in this case, if I like the priest and if his message pleases me or stimulates me,
then I'll believe. It's like, you know, when you're a little kid and you decided you're going to fail because you're going to fail a class because you got mad at the teacher. You're going to show them. Well, that's the same level of apprehension. I'm not going to come to Bible study because I don't like Ole.
Nobody's upset.
I didn't know that was an option.
That's right. Now, see, now we just find out where John is on the list. All right. Again, with regard to the disposition of the fat, it's not seen. Nothing. There's no in actuality, with regard to this particular sacrifice, the turtle dove, there is no disposition of the fat. But at least here, it's not even seen. You don't even understand it. It's like gone. That's what the hell does that mean? Again, so the implication is. And the key to the fat is going all the way from no fat to being burned is that it's the transference from where you see with no fat or the not seeing fat, you're still in the position of thinking that God's purpose is to benefit you. And so therefore your whole being is consumed. You make it sound religious, but your whole being is consumed with self-seeking.
I thought of this a minute ago. It's been going around. This is typically the condition where, yeah, I present myself as a living sacrifice, parenthetically, if I'm saved.
If the conditions are met. You're right. All those you're right.
Yeah.
Is the fat, kind of see that as like the rivers of living water that it talks about or something? I mean,
no.
No?
No.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can see it that way.
You may be wrong.
I could miss that.
You're mixing metaphors.
Okay,
again, mention of the inner parts, there's no mention. It's not even conceivable that the sacrifice dealt with everything inside you. That's beyond the pale of possibility. Now the disposition of the body, in this case, you're one of the turtle doves is let go and the other one is killed, and so you're back there, you know. Every once in a while you might see a glimpse of the cross, but most of the time you think you're going to heaven. Most of the time you really believe in the salvation of yourself. That when you get to heaven, you'll be able to recognize your dear old dad.
Jesus died so that you could fly away and be
right.
Free.
And you'll be able to see your old friends, and you'll get up there and talk to Paul. You know, I mean, it's all that childish bullshit that goes on in the name of God, because it's still the idea that it's the salvation of the isolated soul. Okay? This is pretty controversial stuff, folks. Okay. Now, again, confusion. There's no real understanding that by one offering the sin is taken away forever, that the purpose of the sin offering was to see that you don't, I mean, you know, the sin offering was for you as sin. There's no apprehension that the human race and that you individually were an offspring, you know, were the child of the devil. It's simply the idea that you still think that you're going to get better. Okay? Now here at least the sacrifice isn't. So you're getting away from self a little bit. You already got that?
Right.
Now.
Wait a minute. On the disposition of the fat, I realize it's backing up, but does a turtle dove even have any fat?
All animals have fat, or they wouldn't live.
But but it doesn't have much.
Even a grub worm has a fat.
Turtle doves don't have much.
You're the turning to get that living waters thing.
No, I'll let go of that.
Okay, again, the next level. Again, you're still an isolated soul. It's the one that does the offering. You don't yet know you're of the tribe of Israel. You don't yet know that God is now dealing with you as a people, not as an individual. The offering is either a female lamb or a female kid. So your apprehension is that there was a death, that somehow Christ died, but there is this confusion in your mind. You're probably still in Egypt because there's a confusion with regard to whether it's a lamb or a kid or a goat, and you're not in the idea that, you know, we've talked about before, never was a male lamb a sin offering. The male lamb was killed in Egypt. But so there's this confusion about locality, where you are. Capisce? Again, here we only see the act. So you have the sorrow of the world. You have the repentance of the world. You get caught, or the Holy Spirit brings something to your mind, and you say, oh my God, I'm sorry I did that. I'm not going to do that anymore. And so, and especially through this level, you begin to see it, at least some possibility of communion in relationships. But you're still, most of the time, in the relationships between husband or wife or between the brethren, you're still, your relationship is based on after the flesh. You still want them to apologize to you, or, you know, you still have to have this act, because your eyes are set on the act. Now, I could go on and on about that, but I'm sure your minds can see the same things. Again, there's still confusion between trespass and sin, but here at least there's beginning to be seen the idea that there's some blood. There's more blood, and the blood is shed. But you're still at a point where your relationship to God is based on your minister or your pastor. Because the priest is the one that does the stuff. You just sort of hang around. Okay? There's no laying out of hands, and so you don't see the depth in any way of what that act of laying out of hands means. You have an inability to pray for people because your apprehension doesn't permit you to pray for someone else except as it affects you. Your real process is you have to wait until you feel like it. You can't be instant in season and out of season. You have to wait. You're still subject to the senses. Every once in a while you might get the anointing and feel like praying for somebody, but it's rare. Now, unfortunately, not very many of you were even there.
This is feeling more like where I am. I mean, I don't really talk about this stuff.
Well, I'm going to say this once and for all time. It's not something that's funny. It's something to be repented of.
Okay.
Again, there's no mention of the blood. So there's a little bit of confusion. You, in many ways, it looks like you've gone backwards. Because at least last time there was some mention of the blood in the brass altar with the turtle doves. But in this case, there's no mention of the blood. And so you're again, it's almost a point of confusion. What the hell's going on here? You got it? You understand? So therefore, your apprehension of access is always based on how you feel. That's the kicker. You always are sensual. You always are carnal, because everything about you is based, and your relationship to God is based on how you feel. And at this level, you can know really nothing about prophecy. All that you know about prophecy is screaming and yelling at somebody and saying, well, Oli told me to do it. You understand? There's judging of your own prophecy, is what I'm saying.
Well, you just go over one more time. Why didn't you mention the blood here at all?
Well, because there's confusion. They may have in this apprehension, they may have even, you know, they may at one time have had a little bit of understanding about a little bit of blood, but then in this point there's confusion again. Now, hear me, folks. You could start out being a believer in an instant of time and be at this point. And the time it takes to get, if you're over here, the time it gets to get over here is that long. Okay? Now, again, with regard to the disposition of the fat, it's not seen. So again, that's the clue that you're still praying for yourself. That you're still, most of the time, you're still thinking about yourself. You got it? You got a picture of that? You don't have any apprehension of the perfectness of the overall sacrifice. Again, no mention of the inner parts, so there's no apprehension at all that the sacrifice sanctified every internally, totally. You're concerned with surface, outward appearance. Again, with regard to the disposition of the body, you still believe you're going to go to heaven. This is a biggie, folks, because if you'll notice, look at cross on the disposition of the body. There's no body, not seen, not seen, not seen, not seen, not seen, outside the camp with detail fading, outside the camp with full detail. It's a fading phenomenon. And the idea with regard to the disposition of the body is your feeling of what happens to the sacrifice, i.e. you. You everybody got this?
Yeah.
Well. Okay, again, there's confusion. You still believe that you're going to make a mistake, and then you've got to go and say this or that, and this is going to happen to you, and that's going to happen to you, and then you got to go do it again. And so it's confusion with a trespass. But at least, again, the sacrifice isn't eaten, because it's a sin offering. Now, finally, at least, I want you to notice 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Think of these as days. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay? This is the only purpose of linear time. So that 8 always means resurrection life. The full apprehension is resurrection life. Now, all of the stuff that Christ said about prayer, Christ said about prayer for this position, for the position of the anointed priest.
Well, see, he couldn't have been conscious of any other place but there.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think we should hurry through this.
Yeah,
list.
I do too. I'm understanding more as we go along.
With each level, I go, yeah, that's me. I'm there. I'm there. So I fear by the time we get to the eighth one.
Okay, now. So on the fourth level, on the fourth day, if you will, it's for the common people. The common Israelite. Now, for the first time, there's an inkling, there's a beginning of an understanding that you are the body of Christ. You are Israel. That you're no longer being dealt with after the flesh. That God isn't dealing with you as an individual. He doesn't give a flip about your individuality except as it applies to you as an office within the body of Christ. Here?
Mm-hmm.
Now you know. Hallelujah. But I'm still just a common little folk. The sacrifice is a female lamb. Now, the distinctions between these sacrifices, there are some fascinating things with regard to whether it's a female kid or a female lamb or a female kid or a male kid. It's all to do with apprehension. And let me just, and I can't even start it. We'll spend a whole night on that, okay? But here, the sacrifice is a lamb, a female lamb. But yet, you're still thinking of yourself as an individual within Israel, because it only atones for the individual. But now you've understood the cross, because now you understand that the sin offering was for who you are. You were sin itself. You now begin to understand fully who the Antichrist is. You can believe, you can come to an apprehension of what it means, of the what the cross truly means. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you now understand who crucified Christ. You did. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
If you understand you crucified Christ, then you can also understand that you're on the cross. Now, please, you don't get from here to here by studying. You don't get from here to here, from the lowest grade to the highest apprehension, by praying. You don't get to the lowest apprehension to the highest apprehension by coming to Bible study. You get there by repentance. I don't care if it's 100,000 times a day. Every single time that your mind lies to you and you begin to be concerned with self in any dimension, you are yours in any dimension. That's the point of repentance. And you'll find a mystery takes place as you repent. You will apprehend. Now, again, I can only You probably don't believe that's possible. I couldn't put all these words to it, but I knew everything in this chart the moment that I became a believer. And so if it can happen to me, it can happen to you. Now, I've considered it of none effect every time I got bent out of shape, you know. And this isn't, again, I'm not talking about progress, except the progress of slaying idolatry. Now again, remember what I told you, that the apprehension of the offerings is as though the umbilical cord is cut. You understand? Okay, now let me read this again.
It's like becoming a child of the law or something at some point, or...
On one occasion, a woman who had given birth at night said to her son, "Go light a lamp so that I may cut your umbilical cord." He went to light the lamp when a demon, the prince of the evil spirits, attacked him. While they were engaged in battle, one with the other, the cock crowed. Said the demon to him, "Go, announce to your mother that I had not the cock crowed, I would have killed you." Said the boy to the demon, "You go and announce to your mother's mother that my mother has not yet cut my umbilical cord. For if my mother had already cut my umbilical cord, I would have destroyed you. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every creature."
It's a wild story.
Anybody have anything else? Take a big guy.
Yeah. Listening to Rabbi Lee.
Again, I want you to visualize. Remember, I've told you that each of the offerings is simply a parable. It was spoken by the word and hand of God, and written by the hand of God, to permit you to see Jesus in the same way that the parables of Christ were spoken. And their purpose is that you might have comfort in the knowledge of Him. Mm-hmm. Their purpose is so that nothing in time and space, even demons, the prince of demons, can ever affect you again. Their purpose is so that you can never again see the leaven of Herod. It can never even have a where you can possibly see lack. You can never again, I mean, it'd be so stupid to have the leaven of the Pharisees, which is to contain itself, because then you'd be returning to that which has been, you'd be the dog returning to his vomit. And you couldn't have possibly the leaven of the Sadducees, which is to not to believe in the efficacy or power of God. So then you can celebrate Passover. Now, each of those parables, what I've done here in this chart, is made a whole bunch of smaller parables so that you can take us. In effect, Christ is cut up into smaller pieces, and we're analyzing Him with an electron microscope, point by point by point by point. Because the promise is, as we see Him, we shall be like Him. Now, Christ in this thing is both the offerer, He's the sacrifice, He's the anointed priest, and He's also the one to whom the sacrifice is made. So He has fulfilled all offices within it. If you don't understand that, this will confuse you to no end.
And He can bear up that under that kind of examination.
I am, all right. He is expected to. And what we're about to do is cut Him open.
And if we don't do that, we are
outside the camp.
Outside the camp.
We're commanded to do that. That's what Passover is, examining the sacrifice.
Amen. And all we're doing now is examining the sacrifice at a different level this year than we have in the past. Now we're as the high priest slaying the lamb, and we're now, we've been still, all this stuff has been looking at the outside, see if there's any impurities on the outside. But pretty soon we're going to get inside, we're going to get all dirty, because we've got to have to stick our hands in the guts, and we've got to see if there's any flaws, if there are any flaws on the kidneys or on the heart or on the liver.
Now there's a revolutionary thing. We are challenging the sacrifice.
Well,
it's like if they found a flaw in the liver, it couldn't atone for the inward stuff, and so that then they would, everything, every blemish
right.
had something to do with
and,
what it wasn't going to do. Or
right.
something.
And what they would do then is they would take that lamb or that animal that had been that they'd already inspected and done all that stuff with it, where they cut it open and cut. And what they did with it is they had a course of priests that the guy that was officiating called over this other course, and they came and they picked up this dead animal that didn't meet the sacrifice, didn't meet the requirements, and they took him and put him in a cart pulled by oxen, and then they took him out to the Dead Sea and tied a millstone around its neck, and he was buried in the depth of the sea because he couldn't be used for anything. He couldn't be eaten. Well, he couldn't be eaten. Or they couldn't use the skin. They couldn't do anything with it. It's only the offerings that were acceptable that were eaten in the common meal. That's why I get so pissed off at you people when you start talking about what fellowship is. You don't know what fellowship is. It can only be that common meal that's eaten on the table of God. That's fellowship. Most of what you think about what fellowship is how you're talking to each other while you're taking the sacrifice out to the Dead Sea and putting a millstone around its neck. Now, that's why the next offering, after we get past the sin offering, the next course of offerings are called the peace offering. And the peace offering, it's called the peace offering because it's the absence of againstness. And in that offering, you are not exhorted, you're commanded to eat with the Father off the table of God. And you... And at that point, you can't get there until you've gone through this trespass offering and the sin offering and apprehended everything I've said. You can't possibly eat at that altar or that table. That's why we have an altar to eat at, which they have no right to eat, who are still in this position of seeing self-improvement. Because they've got, first of all, they've got on the wrong garment. They haven't seen the fullness. They've rejected the. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
This is destiny stuff. This has been hid from all generations. Why in the hell did he choose you? I wouldn't have chosen you. I'd have chosen somebody that met my imagery and I could talk to and would understand me. And you know, sure as hell you wouldn't have chosen me. Don't consider this lightly. Fully apprehend, if nothing else, tonight your sense of destiny so that crap in the world no longer has any control over you. Now take it, big guy.
You know, I was thinking about the examining this inward parts. It's like in the world, for everything that God did, the world responded. It's like when Abraham left, there were massive migrations that began at that time and began to move people around and change the whole way the world was.
Everyone.
When the law was given, there was all of a sudden, everybody had to have laws. I mean, written down. There might have been a few before, but all of a sudden that became the thing to have. And everybody began to examine the entrails as magical things. And they didn't really do that before. You know, all of a sudden it started. And they, you know, they found these, you know, the inner parts of these animals and which part meant what as far as what was going to happen to you or the king or whatever it was.
Man.
It's like at every point God does something, then all of a sudden the world...
co-ops.
Responds to it and knows what's going on and just kind of gets in there and messes around with it.
And denigrates the truth.
Yeah, all of a sudden everybody's doing it, but The true thing is forgotten. It's just a secret, a mystery.
Man.
Like now with the, what's that?
New Age movement.
New Age movement is just a...
Just, yeah, that's a good point.
And one more. As I see this chart descending from left to right, I'm thinking about that quote, was it Descartes that we talk about so much, if you leave the quest for truth, for Christianity, whoever it was. But that's what this is. If you leave the quest to apprehend the sacrifice, if you cease to examine the sacrifice for the sake of Christianity, then you will do it for your sect, and then you will do it for yourself when you're lost.
Okay. Now, take it. Get out of here.
Sorry, that's the way I'm thinking.